Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be looking into the world of pro-hormones.
Oh, wow.
Specifically, Superdrol.
Interesting.
We've got this article here
Yeah.
from Steroids and Performance-Enhancing Drugs, freshly published November 16th of this year.
Okay.
It's called Superdrol. And this stuff has a reputation.
Yeah.
It's been called the world's strongest pro-hormone, and for a good reason.
Wow.
So we're going to unpack what it is, how it works, its rise and fall into the bodybuilding scene, and why it's still making waves even after being banned.
You know what I find interesting about Superdrol is that it's a prime example of how quickly a substance can go from being a seemingly legal alternative to a blacklisted performance enhancer.
Wow.
It really highlights the cat and mouse game between those seeking an edge and those trying to maintain a level playing field in athletics.
It definitely sounds like a roller coaster ride.
Right.
So let's start with the basics. What exactly is Superdrol?
Superdrol, chemically known as methyldrostanolone, is a designer steroid, meaning it was engineered to mimic the effects of traditional anabolic steroids, but with the hope of initially skirting regulations. And for a while, it did just that. It
Really?
exploded in popularity amongst bodybuilders in the early 2000s, promising rapid muscle gains and strength increases. But that popularity, as we'll discuss later, eventually led to its downfall.
So it was designed to be a stealthy steroid, but its effectiveness kind of blew its cover.
Yeah.
The article mentions that it significantly impacts testosterone levels. Can you break that down a bit further for us?
Absolutely. Superdrol doesn't convert to estrogen like some steroids, but it does directly stimulate androgen receptors,
Okay.
leading to a surge in protein synthesis and muscle growth. However, the flip side of this is that it can suppress your body's natural testosterone production. This can lead to a whole cascade of effects from decreased energy and libido to potential mood changes.
So it's almost like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You get this boost in muscle-building potential, but at the expense of your own hormonal balance.
Precisely. And that's why post-psychotherapy, or PCT, is often emphasized with Superdrol use.
Okay.
Medications like Clomid and Nolvidex are commonly used to help restore natural testosterone levels after a cycle, but even then, the disruption can have lingering effects.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, the article also delves into the chemical structure of Superdrol, specifically mentioning a methyl group at the carbon 17 position.
Right.
What's the significance of that little tweak?
Ah, that's where things get really fascinating. You see, that methyl group makes Superdrol orally active,
Yeah.
meaning it can be absorbed into the bloodstream when taken as a pill.
Ah.
However, it also makes it much harder for the liver to break down.
Oh.
This means it stays in the system longer, increasing its potency, but also placing a significant strain on the liver. Think of it like this: if your liver is a filter, that methyl group is like a clog that makes it work overtime, potentially leading to damage.
That's a great analogy. So this seemingly small alteration to its structure has a major impact on both its effectiveness and its potential for harm.
Exactly.
Now, we touched on its rise and fall in popularity earlier. Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
Well, as I mentioned, Superdrol hit the scene in the early 2000s, marketed as this legal and powerful alternative to traditional steroids. Bodybuilders were reporting significant muscle gains, sometimes as much as 10 to 20 pounds in a single cycle, according to anecdotal reports.
Wow, 10 to 20 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tempting prospect, especially for those seeking fast results.
It's understandable why it caught on so quickly, however. That very effectiveness caught the attention of organizations like the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA. It became clear that Superdrol provided a significant performance advantage, which ultimately led to its ban in many countries, including the United States.
So it's a classic case of too good to be true.
In a way, yes, it highlights the allure of quick fixes and the potential risks associated with them. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We'll dive deeper into the risks, legal ramifications, and potential alternatives to Superdrol.
Okay, sounds good. If you are interested in more topics like this, you can visit our website, publichealthlaw.net.
Right.
We'll be right back with more insights on Superdrol.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before the break, we were talking about Superdrol's rise and fall from grace,
Right.
how it went from this like sought-after supplement to a banned substance. But let's get into like why is it considered so risky?
We've hinted at some of the potential downsides, but it's really crucial to understand the full scope of the risks.
Yeah. What are we talking about here?
Well, first and foremost, we have to address the elephant in the room, liver toxicity.
Oh, okay.
As we talked about earlier, that methyl group
right.
in Supergirl's structure makes it resistant to breakdown by the liver,
mm-hmm.
putting extra stress on this really vital organ.
Yeah.
Over time, this can lead to inflammation damage and even potentially serious complications.
That sounds pretty scary. Is there any way to mitigate that risk?
Yeah.
Or is it just inherent to using Supergirl?
Unfortunately, the liver toxicity risk is pretty much baked into the drug itself.
Oh, wow.
While some might suggest using liver support supplements,
right.
there's no scientific evidence to support their effectiveness in protecting against Supergirl-induced damage.
Okay.
The reality is if you're using Supergirl, you're putting your liver at risk.
Period. Okay, so that's a major red flag right there.
Yeah.
We also touched on the hormonal disruptions it can cause.
Yes.
Can you expand on that a bit more?
Absolutely. While Supergirl itself doesn't convert to estrogen, its potent androgenic effects can throw your hormonal system out of whack.
Okay.
As we mentioned before, it can suppress natural testosterone production, leading to a range of side effects, including fatigue,
right.
low libido mood swings, and even depression.
That's a pretty long list of potential side effects.
Yeah.
And I imagine those hormonal disruptions could have long-term implications as well.
You're right to be concerned. While some of these effects might be temporary, prolonged, or repeated use of Supergirl can lead to more persistent hormonal imbalances, even with post-cycle therapy.
Right.
It's not always a guaranteed fix, and some individuals may experience lingering issues.
So it's not just a matter of, like, dealing with the side effects during the cycle, but potentially dealing with the fallout long after you've stopped using it.
Exactly. And it's not just the physical effects we need to consider. Supergirl can also have a significant impact on mental and emotional well-being.
Mm. Interesting. In what way?
Well, the hormonal fluctuations we've been discussing can directly impact mood and behavior.
Okay.
Some users report increased aggression, irritability, and even anxiety. While on Supergirl, there have also been cases of individuals developing a psychological dependence on the drug due to the rapid physical changes and perceived performance enhancement.
Wow. So it really is a multifaceted risk. It's not just about potential physical damage, but also the potential for psychological and emotional consequences.
Right.
It's almost like opening Pandora's box. You might get the results you're looking for, but at what cost?
That's a very apt comparison, and it's why it's so important to approach any substance that can drastically alter your physiology with extreme caution and a full understanding of the potential downsides.
Absolutely. Now, I know Supergirl is banned in many countries, including the United States,
mm-hmm.
but I'm curious, given its popularity,
mm.
what's the legal landscape surrounding it?
Well, the ban on Supergirl stems from a combination of factors, first and foremost. There are the health risks we've been discussing.
Right.
Regulatory bodies like WDOE recognize the potential for harm, especially the liver toxicity issue.
Okay.
Secondly, there's the issue of fairness and competition.
Right.
Supergirl offers a significant performance advantage, and its use undermines the integrity of athletics.
So it's a matter of protecting both athletes and the spirit of competition.
Precisely, however, despite these bans, Supergirl is still available on the black market and through some online sources. This obviously raises further concerns about the quality control and potential for counterfeit products.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
But given the risks we've discussed, it seems almost counterintuitive that people would still seek it out. Why do you think that is?
It boils down to a complex interplay of factors. The allure of quick results, the pressure to achieve a certain physique, and perhaps even a lack of awareness about the potential consequences.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster. Are there any alternatives to Supergirl, especially for those who are looking to enhance their physique or athletic performance?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll explore right now. We'll explore a range of alternatives from other pro-hormones and steroids to natural supplements and training strategies that can help achieve results without compromising your health.
Okay, perfect. If you are interested in more topics like this, you can visit our website, publichealthlaw.net.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with more on the world of pro-hormones and safer alternatives to Supergirl. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been exploring the world of Supergirl and uncovering its potent effects and the serious risks involved.
Right.
But let's face it, for those seeking to enhance their physique or athletic performance, you know, the desire for results can be powerful. So what are the alternatives to Supergirl?
That's a really crucial question, and I think it's important to approach this from a harm reduction perspective.
Okay.
While some individuals might be tempted to explore other pro-hormones or steroids, it's vital to remember that they all come with their own set of risks and potential side effects.
Right. It seems like there's no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to these kinds of substances.
Yeah.
So if someone is determined to go down that route, what's the most important thing to keep in mind?
Thorough research and a cautious approach are paramount. It's crucial to understand the specific compound, its potential benefits, and most importantly, its potential downsides. Consulting with a healthcare professional is also highly recommended. They can provide personalized guidance and assess your individual risk factors and help you make informed decisions about your health.
It sounds like knowledge is truly power in this case. But what about those who are looking for a safer, more natural approach? Are there any options out there that can help people achieve their fitness goals without compromising their health?
Absolutely. There are a number of natural supplements and training strategies that can be incredibly effective. For example, creatine is a well-studied supplement that has been shown to increase strength and muscle mass. It's naturally found in the body and plays a role in energy production during exercise.
I've definitely heard a lot about creatine. It seems to be a popular choice among athletes and fitness enthusiasts. Are there any other natural options worth considering?
BCAAs, or branched-chain amino acids, are another group of supplements that can be beneficial. They play a key role in muscle protein synthesis and can aid in recovery and growth. Additionally, there are natural testosterone boosters that can help optimize hormone levels. But it's important to note that these should be approached with caution and under the guidance of a healthcare professional.
So it sounds like there's a whole toolbox of natural options available. But as you said, doing your research and seeking professional advice is key. Now, I'm curious, beyond supplements, what are some effective training strategies that can help people achieve their fitness goals naturally?
Well, progressive overload is fundamental to muscle growth. This involves gradually increasing the weight reps or intensity of your workouts over time to challenge your muscles and stimulate adaptation.
That makes sense. It's all about pushing your boundaries, but in a safe and controlled manner.
Exactly. Proper nutrition is equally important.
Of course.
Consuming adequate protein is essential for muscle repair and growth, while a balanced diet rich in whole foods will provide the nutrients your body needs to perform at its best.
So it's a holistic approach, combining smart training with proper nutrition to support your body's natural growth processes.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that consistency is key. Building a strong, healthy physique takes time and effort. There are no quick fixes, and any approach that promises drastic results in a short period of time should be met with skepticism.
That's a valuable reminder. It's easy to get caught up in the allure of rapid transformations, but sustainable progress is built on a foundation of dedication and a commitment to your long-term health.
I couldn't agree more. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, making choices that empower you to achieve your goals while safeguarding your well-being.
Well said. And that wraps up our deep dive into the world of Superdrol and its alternatives. We hope you found this exploration insightful and empowering.
If you're interested in more topics like this, you can visit our website, publichealthlaw.net.
That's publichealthlaw.net. Thanks for joining us. And remember, knowledge is your greatest asset when it comes to making informed decisions about your health and fitness.